Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Ches, and we are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, the beginning of a new perek, the 20th perek in Masechet Shabbos, perek Toiler. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. But before we begin, I just want to mention that we will Be'ezrus Hashem as a Chabura be making a siyum on Masechet Shabbos, Boi Bayoim, the last day of Masechet Shabbos. That's Monday, August 10th. The siyum is going to be in Muncie. It's going to be at 5 o'clock. Anyone that would like to attend, we are requesting that you please RSVP. We set up an email address, siyumdbs@gmail.com, siyumdbs@gmail.com. So we go from Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila to another Perek that begins Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. It's interesting. This is actually the third Perek in Masechet Shabbos that begins with the words Rabbi Eliezer. We know Rabbi Eliezer is Bal Plukta in Shas, is Rabbi Yeshua. There are no Prokim in Shas called Perek Rabbi Yeshua, but there are many Prokim in Shas, three in Masechet Shabbos alone. There's in Masechet Nedarim, Perek Rabbi Eliezer. I was thinking, maybe the reason is the Gemara says in Masechet Erev in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, then whenever there's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that loch is like Beis Hillel. Why? The Paschal said. But why was Beis Hillel zoicha that that loch should always be like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, because Beis Hillel were bigger balei midos. It's not that they were better in learning. To the contrary. The Gemara says in the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos, Beis Shammai was mechada ditvei. But in midos, in terms of hanhaga, in terms of ben adam lechaveroi, Beis Hillel was greater than Beis Shammai, and it's for that reason that Beis Hillel was zoicha that the loch is always like Beis Hillel. And the Gemara gives examples of how you see that Beis Hillel, in terms of midos, were greater than Beis Shammai. One of the examples the Gemara says is V'loy oid ela shemakdimim divrei Beis Shammai l'divreiem. So whenever Beis Hillel would say over something, they would acknowledge that there's another opinion. They wouldn't say their opinion first. First they would say Shitas Beis Shammai, and only afterwards would they mention Shitas Beis Hillel. And that's why throughout Shas, whenever there's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you always have Beis Shammai first, and then you have Beis Hillel. That's why you have many prokim in Shas that are called Shammai. Masechtas Nida starts Shammai Omer. It doesn't start Hillel, it starts Shammai, because Shammai always comes before Hillel. Beis Shammai always comes before Beis Hillel. It was the Midas Toivos of Beis Hillel, like the Gemara says in Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara said in the beginning of Perek, Rabbi Eliezer, the Mila was Shamuti. And Rashi brings the Beshem the Yerushalmi. Why was he Shamuti? What does it even mean that he was Shamuti? It's Miloshin Shammai. Rabbi Eliezer was Mitalmida Beis Shammai. Perhaps that's why whenever there's a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, it's first Rabbi Eliezer and then Rabbi Yeshua. That's why you can have a Perek Rabbi Eliezer. You're never going to have a Perek Rabbi Yeshua. Because if it's a machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, it's really, in essence, a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai always comes before Beis Hillel. Shammai always comes before Beis Hillel. That's why Ulai, Rabbi Eliezer, always comes before Rabbi Yeshua. On that note, talk to Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, Toilin esa mishameres b'yontif. A person is allowed to set up a mishameres on yontif. So in order to fully appreciate some of the mishnayos that we're going to learn now, you have to be familiar with the winemaking process of back in the day. We'll try our best. Apparently, there was a a big vat, a large bucket, a chavis. A mishameres would be placed on top, a sieve of some sorts. The wine that wasn't properly sifted would be placed on top. The idea was that the shmarim, the sediment, the part of the wine that you didn't want would remain on top of the sieve, and the wine that you wanted would drip into the chavis. Rabbi Eliezer says, you're allowed to hang this on yontif. It's mashma, not on Shabbos. We'll see in the Gemara. Additionally, v'noisin l'tluy b'Shabbos. If you had this mishameres suspended from before Shabbos, so then you're allowed to place wine in it, even on Shabbos. So as far as hanging, actually erecting this mishameres, that you could do only on Yontif. In terms of putting the wine through the mishameres, that you could do even on Shabbos. We disagree with the first thing Rebbe Eliezer said. You're not allowed to suspend this mishameres on Yontif. Additionally, the ain't noisin letluya b'Shabbos, as it relates to putting the wine through, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Avon noisin letluya b'Yontif. But if you want to put it on Yontif, that you would be allowed to do. So two points that Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim argued in the Mishnah. Number one, Rebbe Eliezer says you can make the Mishameris on Yontif? Chum said you cannot. Number two, Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to put the wine through the Mishameris on Shabbos. The Chachamim say you cannot, says the Gemara. So Rabbi Eliezer's shita is, Toilin is a Mishameris beyond the Freak the Gemara. I don't understand why you're allowed to do that. At first glance, what should be the issue? What would be the problem with making the Mishameris? An oil. You're creating a roof, a tent, an oil, a covering of some sorts to the Chavis. Now, in Hilchit Shabbos, this is not an oil kavua, this is an oil aroi. This is not a tent, even if it is a tent, that's going to be there for an extended period of time. It's going to be there for a short period of time. So essentially, what's Rabbi Eliezer saying? You're allowed to make an oil aroi. Freik de Gemara, how could that be? Hash the Rabbi Eliezer, Isufa oil aroi, le mashvinon. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't even allow you to add a knetch. That's an oil aroi. L'mi'evid l'chadchila shari. Would he allow you to go ahead and do a l'chadchila? My, he freaked him. What are you talking about? Where do you find that Rabbi Eliezer ever said anything about an oil aroi? The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, pekaka chaloin, the infamous pekaka chaloin. So pekaka chaloin was a shutter that was placed on a window. Before there were window shades, there was a pekaka chaloin. So Rabbi Eliezer says, bizman shekosh v'toloi, if the shutter is, number one, attached to the wall, number two, it's hanging, meaning it's not lying on the ground. Piking by the halach is you're allowed to place it on the window on Shabbos Vilnav. And if not, ain't piking by, then you're not allowed. Chomer, the Chomer say, Benkach, Benkach, piking by. Chloik is in the Gemara. What Benkach, Benkach means one of the hardest Gemaras in Masech the Shabbos. But regardless, the Chachamim are more makel. And the Chachamim say that you're allowed to put the Pekaka Chaloin on the Chaloin, Benkach, Benkach. Bottom line. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Pekaka Chaloin is a problem. According to Chachamim, it's not a problem. Omer, Rabbi Barbara Chan, Rabbi Yechim, Hankel, Mainder, everybody, you say, Noisan, Oil, Rabbi Chibba Yontif. They are not allowed to make an Oil, Rabbi Yon Yontif. They ain't Sar Chloim, Shabbos. You're certainly not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Yontif is always more Kuladig than Shabbos. So if you're not allowed to do it on Yontif, Kal Bechaymer, you can't do it on Shabbos. Loi Nechlik, what was the Machloikis, Elo Lohoysev? Are you allowed to add to a binyan, add an oil, that's a roi, on Shabbos? Shir Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Ein Moisif in Beyontif, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif, Vein Tzor Chlemi B'Shabbos, and you're certainly not allowed to do it on Shabbos. V'chom Omer, the Chachom say, Moisif in B'Shabbos, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, Vein Tzor Chlemi B'Yontif, and you're certainly allowed to do it on Yontif. The point is that Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds that you can't even be Moisif in Oyel Aroi on Shabbos and Yontif. If you can't be Moisif in Oyel Aroi on Shabbos, that's why the Pekaka Chaloim poses such challenges in Halacha. That's why it has to be Kosher, it has to be Taloi, in order for you to be able to use it. So certainly you wouldn't be able to go lechatchila and make an oil aroi. So, the Gemara, how could Rabbi Eliezer say toil and a semeshameris beyond if you're going to be toil and meshameris, you're essentially making an oil aroi. Rabbi Eliezer sheet says you can't even be moist of an oil aroi. Certainly you're not allowed to make an oil aroi. And for the Gemara, no, this is very different. You know why? Because the pekaka chaloim, you're closing the windows. When you are suspending a meshameris in a barrel of wine, you're doing something letzorech oichol nefesh. Letzorech oichol nefesh on Yontif is a whole different halacha. Rabbi Eliezer Sovel, Rabbi Eliezer holds Kirab Yehuda. The Tanya will learn to the Brayis, Ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos, Elo oichol nefesh b'vat. So this is a Mishnah in the first parak of Masechtas Megillah. It's also a Brayisa. And very often, as we know, the Brayisa adds a little bit that the Mishnah left out. So in this Brayisa, we have another sheet. The Rabbi Yehuda Mater, Af Machshirei Oichol Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only is Oichol Nefesh Mutar on Yontif, but Machshirei Oichol Nefesh is also Mutar on Yontif. Meaning, not only you're allowed to cook on Yontif, but you could even do something that will be Letzairich cooking at some later point. Says the Gemara, you want to know where Rabbi Eliezer allows you to be Toilem Esamesh Ameres B'Yontif? L'chura, you're making an Oila right? No, because you're doing it for wine. You're doing it for Eichel Nefesh, and even though it's not real Eichel Nefesh, it's only Machshirei Eichel Nefesh. Probably as it's all the Rabbi Yehuda, that Machshirei Eichel Nefesh is also okay. But Frank, we're the Shamita Leid of Rabbi Yehuda, Machshirei Sheyav Shalas Leit Meir Yontif. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds Machshirei Eichel Nefesh as Doich Yontif, but only a Machshirei that you couldn't do before Yontif. But Machshirei Sheyav Shalas Leit Meir Yontif, Mishamit Leid, does he hold Rabbi Yehuda that you're allowed to do Machshirei Eichel Nefesh on Yontif, even if you could have done it before Yontif, and this Mishameris could have easily done before, you don't have to do it on Yontif. It's not like it spoils, it's not like it goes bad. It's not like the Mishameris is going to be any different if you do it on Yontif versus doing an Erev Yontif. So really it was Machshirei Oichol Nefesh that you could have done Erev Yontif. So where do you find that even Rabbi Eliezer holds this is okay? And for the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Adif and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer was even more Mekel than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only is Oichol Nefesh Doiche Yontif, even Machshirei Nefesh is Doiche Yontif. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds Machshirei Nefesh is only Doiche Yontif if it was E.F. Shalasoyson be'erev Yontif. Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Oichol Nefesh is Doiche Yontif, even if it's E.F. Shalasoyson on Yontif. So we have another Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah said, Toilin is a Mishameris Beyontif. After further review, after analysis of the Gemara, what's at the core of Shita's Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is that not only is Melechas Eichel Nefesh Toichi Yantiv, but even Machshiri Eichel Nefesh Toichi Yantiv. And by the way, even Machshiri Eichel Nefesh that you could have done before Yantiv. It seems very consistent with Rabbi Eliezer of the previous parak. Rabbi Eliezer who held that not only is Michl the Toichi Shabbos, but Machshiri Milas Toichi Shabbos. And not only Mila, but Machshiri Lulav and Sukkah and Shaifer and Matzah. Here you have another Rabbi Eliezer, literally Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'oise Inyan, where we're dealing with Machshirin and Rabbi Eliezer is Mekel. Rabbi Eliezer seems to give a lot of prominence to Machshirin. It's not just the Melach itself, but the Machshirim also would have the ability. The Chachamim argued, the Chachamim said, Ein Toilin is a Meshameres beyond it. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Toilin, the Chachamim hold, Ein Toilin, says the Gemara Yibaylu, Talamai. Let's say somebody went ahead and he did it. What's the Halacha going to be? Meaning we understand the Chachamim Shita. We had to jump through hoops to understand Rabbi Eliezer. So the Chachamim are easy. The Chachamim hold Melechas Eichel Nefesh is Doichi Yantiv, not Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. Even if the Chachamim hold Machshiri Eichel Nefesh is Doichi Yantiv, maybe only Machshirim that you could have done before Yantiv. But the Gemara's question is something else. What happens if you went ahead and you did it? You made this Mishameres on Yantiv. You weren't supposed to. Did you violate Issa Dairaisa, or was it only an Issa Dirabana? Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Tola Chayv Chatas. If you do it, B'dievet, you're going to be Chayv. I mean, if you did it B'shoik, you're going to be Chayv Chatas. That's another way of saying that it's Chil Shabbos on the Dairaisa La'omle. Abayabayasa El-Miat. If that's the case, Tola Kuzah B'sichsa. If somebody would take a jug and he would hang it on a hook, on a peg, okay, now you're going to tell me you're going to be Chayv as well? Meaning, I don't think this person did any more than that. Just like it's Pashid Abaya said that in that case he shouldn't be chayiv, I think it's Pashid in this case he shouldn't be chayiv either. The point is, it's Aroi, it's temporary. So if it's temporary, you never chayiv for doing something temporary on Shabbos. You chayiv for doing something kavu on Shabbos. You never chayiv for doing something temporary on Shabbos. Elamar Abaya said, Midrabonin Yishalay Yasik Eterech Shu Oysa B'chal. You want to know why it's a problem? It's Asir only Midrabonin, not Asir Midei Raisa. It's Asir Midrabonin, and the reason is because on Shabbos and on Yontif, you're not allowed to do things, even Dvarim Amutarim, Kederech Shu Oysa B'chal. So we had to wait 137 dachen to see this Yusoy. Tap Rashi. Elom Rabbi Midrabonin. Ka'asri Le'chachomim D'masnisin, D'loy Shafkina Le'lemitle, Le'mievad, and here's the punchline, Uvdo D'chal. There's a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yontif that states that even a dover that's mutter, you're not allowed to do if it's uvda dechayil, quote unquote, if you're doing it in the vachin dig away. Now, it's very hard to be magda what that means. So, what, you're not allowed to get dressed in the same way you get dressed during the week? I mean, we know, shalai diburach b'shabbos ki diburach b'chol, shalai yehi luchach b'shabbos ki luchach b'chol. There's certain things that Chazal made very, very clear that Shabbos has to be different. But here we're dealing with something that the Gemara is saying is not really yasser to be toilet this mishameres, but at the same time to do something vachendig that in and of itself is going to be an issue. So the Rishonim struggle a little bit in the Achronim to explain exactly what the Yisoid is. One pshat that the Mefarshim say is that being that this is a situation where it's a little melacha dig, because at the end of the day you are making an oil, so that's maybe where uvda dechol goes into play. But again, uvda dechol is something that's going to come up again in the parak. It's something that we're going to have to understand a little bit better. Zokti Gemara, mankit Abaya chumre masnisa v'tani. Abaya used to collect brises, and what he would do is he would organize them, he would categorize them. So he said the following: hagoid, a sack, v'hamishameres, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Kila, a canopy, the kise galen, and the cheer that came from the place galen, all these things, lo yase, you shouldn't make them on Shabbos and Yontif, vimas, and if you do patur avalasa, you didn't violate anything on a deraisa level, all it is an issed rabbanon. So what are these four things? Hagoid, Rashi says, is people that traveled would often put things in sacks, wine, oil, and what happens is if you're going to leave the sack just lying on the ground with it closed overnight, eventually at some point it could spoil. So what they would do is they would open up the sack, they would take one drawstring and they would attach it to one peg, another one attach it to another peg, they would leave it open, and that's what they would do on Shabbos. So the Braisa said that a goy to do that is not something you should do on Shabbos and Yontif, because you're making an oil, you're making something, even though you're not really, you're just hanging something up. But it's a little bit oil dig, and it's for that reason that Loch is, don't do it. If you do it, obviously you didn't violate Chil Shabbos Deiraisa, it's going to be Pater Avalasa. The Mishamer is that the Mishnah mentioned. Kila, you're not allowed to make a canopy on Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara is going to talk a lot more about that. And Kisei Galen, this is a chair that every time you wanted to sit on, you had to put together.
So being that you have to put it together, so it's something, again, that you're not allowed to do. So apparently it didn't involve a real binyan. It didn't involve a real makah d'patish, because it's not something that's asim midei raisa. But at the same time, the rabbanon, it's a problem. Hence, it's going to be pater aval asim. The reason it's pater aval asim, Rashi says, is because we're afraid that you may do it properly. And if you do it properly, then you're going to get involved in makah d'patish. So four things. Hagoyed, that's the sack. Mishameris, that's deceive. Kilo is a canopy. Kisei gal. All four of these things are mutam midiraisa, but at the same time, asim midirabbanan. Now notice, the reasons for the four things are not the same. The goyid is an issue of making a tent. The mishameris, that we just said is uvdu d'cho, whatever exactly that is. Kilo, making a canopy, again, is a question of an oil. And kisei galen is a gzeira, that you may do it properly, you may come to violate makapadish, but again, the halach is the same, and that's why Abaye put it together. Holy keva is a it relates to making a proper oil. Well, yasa, that you're not allowed to make. The masan, if you do make a chayv chatos, avomita, as it relates to a bed that's standing up and you just want to put it down so you can lie on it. The kisei trasko, that's like a folding chair. The asla, that's a folding toilet. Same concept as a folding chair. Mutter, lintoisen, lechatrila. Those are things that you're allowed to do. Even the katrilas, you're not doing anything. You're just moving it. Open up a folding chair is not a problem. There were two machloikis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The first one was, Rabbi Eliezer says, you're allowed to make this Mishameris on Yontif. The Chachamim say, you're not allowed to make the Mishameris on Yontif. Rabbi Eliezer says, you could do it because at the end of the day, it's Echel Nefesh. And even though it's Machshir Echel Nefesh, even though you could have done it before Yontif, Rabbi Eliezer, like Machshirim, is something that's always Doicha, it's going to be okay. Chachamim say, it's not okay. Why not? What was the second machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer says, "V'noisten l'tluya b'Shabbos." You're allowed to put the grapes through the tluya, through this mishameres, assuming that it was put there before Shabbos, even lechatchila, even on Shabbos. And the Chachamim said, "Ein noisten l'tluya b'Shabbos." However, noisten l'tluya b'yontif. Zakti Gemara Yibayiluhu Shimer Mai. Same shaila. What happens according to the Chachamim if you did do it? Did you violate Chil Shabbos Day Raisa only Midrabban? I'm Rav Kana, Rav Kana says, Shimon Chayiv Chatas. If you do it, you're going to be Chayiv Chatas. Maskel of Rav Sheishes. Rav Sheishes asked the Kasha. Mi Ikamidi, is there such a thing? The Rabbanim Chayiv Chatas. Rav Eliezer, Shoyu Lekat Chilo. Where do you find, interesting Gemara, that there should be a Machlokes Tanoim where they're taking such opposite positions? Meaning, Rav Eliezer is going to one extreme. He's saying it's mutal lechatchila. Chama going to the other extreme. They're saying if you do it, you chayiv chatas. What would be in between? It's aser only midrabbanan. So freit the Gemara. Do you ever find such an idea where according to one sheet it's mutal lechatchila and according to the other sheet it's going to be aser midei raisa? This was Rav Sheishes' kasha. So the Gemara says Rav Yosef was there and Rav Yosef came to the defense of Rav Kahana. Ask of Rav Yosef. I'm like, why not? The ir shel zov that we had in Perek, bameh isha yosef. This was a very expensive piece of jewelry that Noshim Chashuvos used to wear. Rabbi Akiva's wife had it. Rabbi Gamliel's wife didn't have it. But either way, the Gemara says, what's the halacha about wearing an ir shel zav on Shabbos? Ramei Mechayiv Chatas. Ramei says it's a big problem. If somebody wears an ir shel zav, Mechayiv Chatas, it's literally called carrying. Rabbi Eliezer Shor L'Chatchilo. Rabbi Eliezer says it's Mutal L'Chatchilo. So again, you have two positions and they're diametrically opposed. He holds Chatas, he holds Mutal. What is this? Not even a woman's not allowed to go outside with an ir shel zav on Shabbos. Chatas, a woman's not allowed to go outside on Shabbos with an ir shel zav, if she goes out, Ptura. It's awesome in the Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer is the extreme. He says, Yotzei Yishav. Now, why does he hold this mutal lechatchila? So, just to recap, what's the problem with wearing jewelry on Shabbos? So, if you're carrying, it's not jewelry, then obviously you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. But the Chachamim made a gezeira. They were worried that if a woman would wear jewelry on Shabbos, what would happen if she meets her friend? Noshim Daitan Kalois, that's such a nice piece of jewelry. Next thing you know, you're going to be carrying it. That's why this would be an issue. But the Eza holds that who wears the ear shells off, only very important women. An important woman would never take a piece of jewelry off in a Rosh Hashanah. So this is not something you have to worry about. But what do you see from here? You see from here, you have opposite shittas. You have Ramei Shita who says Chayiv Chatas, and then you have the other extreme, Rabbi Eliezer Shita who says it's Mutal L'Chatchila. So Maskev for Rav Yosef, he said, I don't understand what's so shver about what Rav Kahana said. Rav Kahana said, Shimer, you're going to be Chayiv Chatas. And the Gemara jumped. Maskev for Rav Sheish says, why? Chayiv Chatas can't be. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mutal L'Chatchila, he says Chayiv Chatas. Maskev for Rav Yosef, that's for Rosh Hashanah. This is the ear shells up. Abaya told, again, wherever there's Rav Yosef, there's Abaya. Obviously, Abaya. Abaya told Rav Yosef, me, Savris, Rabbi Eliezer, Adramayor, Koy. Rabbi Eliezer is not talking to Rameir. The Omar Chayev is Chatos. Adrabonin Koy. The Rabbanon already bridged the gap. The Amri Potter Avalosir. The Omar Lohu Iyu Mutal L'Chatchila.
So if all there was were the two extreme, you're asking God, if all there were, which is Tais Kasha, if all there were the two extreme positions, if all there were, it's Elisan, just to be clear. Now, if all there were the two extreme positions, then Enochinabi. But being that there's the middle sheet, that you have the sheet of the Rabbanon in between, so already it's not a problem. Toisvis Dibra Maskel, Mi Sabris, the Rabbi Eliezer Koya, the Rabbi Meir says, what's your first name?
Shaldam.
Exactly. Lo Yoda Rebbe, my Kodeshanis. What kind of teretz is that? What's Pashim Shah? What's the teretz? Incidentally, if you take a look at Rabbi Kiveg and Gilian Ashas, so Toisvis says, Lo Yoda, Ke'ein Zel Il, Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. When Rashi and Brachis Chafei Amid Beis said, Eini Yodeya, Rabbi Kiveg had 25 Mamre Kodeshanis. Toisvis says, Lo Yoda, Toisvis has one Toisvis. Rabbi Kiveg has one Toisvis. He says, take a look at Toisvis, Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. Something to look into. But either way, Zokti Gemara, Mishum Mai, Masrim Bey. So according to Rav Kahana, when the Chachamim say, Ein Noislim L'Tluya B'Shabbos, what does it mean? It means it's an Issa De'Oraisa. It's an Issa De'Oraisa. That means if somebody would do it b'mezid with Edom and Asra, he would be chayiv skila. Says the Gemara, which one of the lamites malachis is this? Meaning, Mishumai Master, if you're going to give Asra, so you have to know which malachi you're giving Asra for. Which malachi is it? Rabba Amar Rabba said Mishum Bayra. It's Bayra. Rab Zera said Mishum Merake. It's Merake. Now, the truth is, there are three of the 39 malachis that are very similar. You have Zaira, which is winnowing, Bayra, which is sorting, and Merake, which is putting through the sifter. That's actually sifting. So the Gemara wants to know, it's for sure Zaira, Bayra, Merakit. Probably not Zaira, because there's no wind involved. So the question is it Bayra or is it Merakit? Rabbi said it's Bayra. Rabbi Zaira said it's Mishum Merakit. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi said, Kavasi didi mistabra. I think I'm right. I think it's Bayra. Because my dark is all Bayra. What's Bayra? Noitel Eichel and Nech Psylus. You separate the Eichel and the Psylus. Afachanami, Noitel Eichel and Nech Psylus. You're doing the same thing over here. You're separating the Eichel and the Psylus. So that's essentially what Bayra is. If that's what Bayra is, so this should be Bayra. I'm Rabbi Zaira said, Kavasi didi mistabra. I think I'm right. Mat Arkisham Mirakid, when you put something through a sifter, Psoilus Mimaila, V'Oicha Mamata, Avhochanami, Psoilus Mimaila, V'Oicha Mamata. In contrast to your classic Bayer, you don't have the situation where the Psoilus is Mimaila and the Bayer is Mimata. This is literally Bayer. I mean, literally Mirake. You're putting something through a sieve. So this is exactly, this is Mirake 101. So Rabbi Zeir said, Kavasi didi mistabra. This is for sure Mirake. Rabbi felt no. Rabbi said, Kavasi didi mistabra. I think it's going to be Bayra. So Rashi speaks out. It's a very important Rashi. Rabbi acknowledges that for sure this could be Mirake. Rabbi is just being mechadish, then in addition to it being Mirake, it could also be Bayra. Even though it's not mamish the way Bayra is. But at the end of the day, what's Bayra? You're sorting. So I don't think this should be too different. I think here you're sorting as well. So according to Rabbi, could either be Bayer or Merake. According to Rab Zera, it has to be Merake. It cannot be Bayer. Just one Ha'ara before we go weiter. So you see, this Gemara is a very, very important Gemara. This is a Gemara that's mentioned in Bava Kama Dav Beis, and this is a Gemara that really goes to the core of some of the lumdus of understanding Lamitas Malachas Nafa today. And that is, in order for a person to get Malkus, in order for a person to be Chayav Mises Bezdin, it's not enough that he violates the Isser. It's not enough that he does it in Mace. It's not enough that there's Edom. He would have had to have been warned. You have to tell the person, Rabid, what you're doing right now is Aser Midai Raisa. And if you do it, you're going to be Chayav Misa. If you do it, you're going to be Chayav Malchus. If he does it anyways, he doesn't care, then the Allah is, he's going to be punished. Now, when you give a person Asra, it's not enough that you tell him that what you're doing is Aser. You have to explain to him, what's Aser? You're eating nevela. You're eating chazer. You have to explain to the person what it is that he's doing wrong. When you give someone hasra for being mechal Shabbos, you would think, perhaps, that it should be enough to tell the person, Rabbi, you're being mechal Shabbos. It says in the Torah, lo yisasa kol melacha atu ben chubidacha. It says in the Torah, shomer yisayim ha-shabbos ha-kachay. You're violating chal Shabbos. You see in this Gemara that that's not enough. It's not enough to tell the person that you're being Mechal Shabbos. It's not enough to tell the person you're being Chayv Skila if you do this. You have to explain to him which particular Malacha he's being Goyfer. Shimer Mishumayim Mechayv. Which, what's the Hasra? Machloik is Rabbi Reb Zaira. Is it Bayer and Merakeh? Is it only, what do you mean? Why do we care which one of the Lamites Malachas it is? Isn't it enough to just tell him you're being Mechal Shabbos and you're being Goyfer Lo Yisasa Kol Malacha? Remember, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah the Lamitas Malachas. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to do Malacha. Every one of the Lamitas Malachas ends up fitting into the same pasuk. Lo yisasa kol malacha. Shomer yisim ha-shabbos ha-kachin. So if that's the case, l'chura, why do you even have to tell him which Malachas? So the Achronim, you see from here, a very important lumdus. That two of the Lamitas Malachas
are to each other like two separate Isurei Torah are. Meaning, Boyer is to Mirakate what Nevel is to Chazit. They're similar to both Macholis Asurais, but it's completely different Isurim. And when it comes to Asura, you can't tell a person who's eating Chazir, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat Nevela. And you can't tell a person that's eating Nevela, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat Chazir. You have to be specific. You have to tell them, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to do this Malacha that you're doing. So you see that in the lumdis of the Malachas, each one of the Malachas is viewed independently. This is Nagei and Paraklal Gadol, when you talk about all the different Chatois, some of the raids we left on the table a little while ago. But either way, very important Gemara. Zak Gemara by Tani Rami by Yecheskel. Rami by Yecheskel said, Talis Kefula. If somebody has a folded talis, lo yasa, you shouldn't put it on pegs. You shouldn't set it up as a tent. The masa, and if you did, patu avalas, not even is a deraisa. It's an oil, but it's an oil aroy. So it's not awesome a deraisa, but at the same time, it's a problem. What would be if you had a talis that can technically be a little overhang? It could be the top of your little tent, your umbrella, so to speak. But and it's tied to one of the poles, so it's already a chut or a meshicha. It's a shtickel tied. So then the halacha is mutter lintois alechatchila. Then all you're doing is being meisif. In that case, it's not a problem. Are you allowed to set up a canopy? Or you're not allowed to set up a canopy? So once upon a time, beds had canopies on top of them. And the question is, you have four poles and a little canopy. Is that something you're allowed to set up on Shabbos? Or is that something you're not allowed to set up on Shabbos? Amalei. So he told him, af mita, so you can't even set up the bed, let alone the canopy. Then he asked him, Rav Kahana did to Rav, mita mau, okay, could you set up a bed? Amalei, af kila muteres. No, even a kila's muter. Then he said, okay, I'm confused. Kilo mita mau. What's the halacha about the kilo and the mita? And then he said, Amalei, kila asura? Umita muteres. But the words, like Kasha, this all makes sense. How? Hadakama af mita asura. When he said that even the mita is asur, meaning the kila is asur and the mita is asur, kidekar minoi. So this apparently was similar to the kisei galen that we had earlier in the oven. It's talking about a bed that you had to put together. You had to put the bed together, so that's a problem. Clearly, you're not doing it in a way where it's makka the patish, where it involves in this a day raisa. But at the very least, in this is the rabbanon, it's going to be. So setting up the kila, that's oil. Setting up the bed, that's exera, you may do it in the right way. So therefore, both the kila and the mita are both going to be asur. Hadakama le af kila muteres. Price that it says even the kilo's mutter is kiderami by Yecheskel. We're talking about a regular bed where you don't have to put it together. All you have to do is move it. That's not a big deal. And we're talking about a kilo. We're talking about a kilo that was already tied. It was kiderami by Yecheskel. So meaning that it's tied already, you're just being moiseth, that's not an issue. And when Rav said kilo asura umita muteres, the kilo is a problem, the mita's mutter, that's kididan, that's your classic case. Most kilos are going to be asur because you're making an oil. Most mitas are not going to be a problem because what are you really doing? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, Chazinu luhu the kilo debei Rav Huna. I saw the kilos in Rav Huna's house, the meorta negidu, umitzafu chavito. At night they were standing and in the morning they were on the floor. So you see, he held you could take it down. If you could take it down, it means you could put it back up. So if that's the case, you see there's a concept of a kilo that's going to sometimes be mutter. Like we mentioned earlier, like Rami Bar Yecheskel said, if it's attached, then it's going to be mutter. Zokti Gemar Rav Bishum Rav Chia. Rav said name Rav Chia. Viloin mutter lintoisei. A viloin, that's a curtain you're allowed to put up. Mutter lefarki, you're allowed to take it down. Why? What's the difference between a kila? What's the difference between putting the covering on top versus putting a curtain on the side? Last Rashi. We learned the first Rashi. We learned the last Rashi. She'ein oil ella misha asui. Ke'en gag. Because an oil is a problem if it's ke'en gag. If it has a roof. There's no roof. Just a curtain. It's and as a result, there's no roof. That's not going to be a problem. Shmuel said Mishum Rav Chiya in the name of Rav Chiya, Kilas Chasanim, the special kilo that the Chasanim had. So the Chasan's kilo was a little different. The difference is that the bed didn't have four poles; it only had two poles. As a result, when the kilo was put up, it wasn't flat, but rather it sloped. It was a exactly. So it sloped down. So the halach is the kilas chasanim mutil in toy. So mutil varki, you're allowed to put it up and you're allowed to put it down. It's not going to be an issue. The reason it's not an issue is because there's no oil. Because it comes to a point on top. So if it comes to a point on top, there's no oil. It means that the top has to be flat. Over here, there's no flat top. As a result, it's not going to be an issue. Rav Sheshet Bredi Ravidi. Rav Sheshet Bredi Ravidi said you have to read the fine print. Meaning kilos chasanim mutter. So before you do it, you have to go through. Number one, lo yamar nelo she'im begag a tefach. That's only true if the gag, the roof, is not even a tefach. Avo yesh begag a tefach. If the gag has a tefach asur, it's already going to be a problem because a gag tefach in hilchos gagois and mesachtes aholois is always considered a gag. V'chi'im begag a tefach. Even if it doesn't have a tefach, you have to make sure elo she'im bepachis mishloisha samach legag a tefach within 3 tefachim
from the point, there's no area that's at least a tefach wide. Because if you're going to have an area that's a tefach wide between three tefachim and the tefach, three tefachim is lava. It's as if it's not there. So you can look at the top not being the spitz all the way on the top, but within three tefachim from the top, that can be considered the roof. So if you have an area that's a tefach wide within three tefachim from the point, that would already constitute a roof. So now you made an oil. So now the kilas chasanim is no different than any other kilo. It's going to be a problem. Again, continuing to read the fine print, this is only true. That's also only true if on the bottom, when as the side of the kila slopes down, it doesn't extend to a full tefach. But if it does extend to a tefach, that's also going to be an issue. And the reason is shifuei oyalim ka'oyalim damu. This is a sugya mesachta sukkah. Take a look on the side. Sukkah yotesam and beis. This is an intense gemara. But the gemara says a chiddush. The gemara says that if you have a wall that slopes, it goes like a right angle, it diagonals. So you could look at that wall as a wall. You could also look at it as a roof. So the halacha is, according to some shitas, that as long as it covers a space of one tefach, you look at it as if it's a roof, and you look at it as a roof, so now you're back to the same issue. So if it slopes down, but it covers a tefach, so then you're going to have the same problem of shipuye oichlin. And finally, this halacha is only true if it doesn't hang underneath, meaning the bottom of the bed. Now you have the bed board. It doesn't go underneath there. But if it hangs a tefach underneath there, also it's going to be aser. And the reason is because now you're going to look at the bottom of the bed. The board has its own oil. So forget about the kila itself. On the bottom, you just create an oil. That's going to be an issue. Zok de gemara mi inyan le inyan ba oisa inyan. Vam rav sheitz breit ravidi. Rav sheitz said the name ravidi. Hai siyana. If somebody has a hat, Rashi says, kova shel leved, felteritz. So this is a felt hat. So if somebody has a felt hat, shari. So apparently people used to wear felt hats and they were wide. They had very wide brims. So Rav Sheisha said in the name of Rav Idi, old school, hai siyana shari. Freita Gemara, is that true? Vayitmar siyana aser. We learned that a felt, a wide brim hat is aser. So Gemara says like kasha. Ha de ispe tefach, ha de lespe. Depends how wide it is. If it's a tefach wide, so tefach is about 4 inches. So if it's 4 inches wide, no. If it's a, then it's a problem. You know why? Because then it's an oil. Oh, if it has a tefach, so when you put on a hat, you put on a really wide brim hat, that could be an oil problem. Hadalas pay tefach. But if it doesn't have a full thing, then it's not. Elamiyat, afraid the Gemara, you're going to tell me that a hat could somehow be an oil. If that's the case, sharbet beglima tefach. Somebody has a talus and he puts the talus over his hat and he puts it a tefach over. You can tell me that's an issue. Also, it can't be. So the Gemara, you're right. Elamiyat, kasha. There's no oil issues over here. You're not making an oil. A hat is not going to be an oil. So what then is the stira? I mean, you have a contradiction. Rav Sheish prayed to Avidi said, Shiyana is mutter. And then we've learned that a Shiyana is really aser. It depends. Is it tied down? Is it or is it tight or is it not tight? If it's tight, then it's going to be mutter. If it's not tight, we're afraid that the wind may blow it. You're going to get it. Gzeira shemi yavi renu dal and armas b'shusaram. Just add it to the list of things that the chachamim made such a gzeira for. And as a result, that's why it's going to be in a sholach le Rami bar Yecheskel Rafuna. Rami bar Yecheskel sent to Rafuna the following question. Emily Easy. He said, "My friend." Easy means my friend. Hanich mili maliyasa the amrit lamishmei the rav used to say over such kishm. Makatoyra, and then imagine. I heard from my Rebbe Rav, right? It's unbelievable. So Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, throughout Shas. So Rav Huna said over in the name of Rav, he said, you used to always tell us three halachos. Tarti v'Shabbos, two about Shabbos, v'chad v'Torah. And what about Torah? Can you tell us again? You know, people, they want to hear the Vart. Can you tell me that Vart again? So he says, tell it to me. You used to always tell us, I want to hear it again. Shalach le, so he told him, Hadetanya, we learned in a braisa, goid, bekisna, mutal in toisna b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take this goid, that's the sack that we had on Amman Aleph, and you're allowed to hang it up on poles on Shabbos. Amar Rav said, this is what Rav used to say. On that braisa, he used to comment, loy shanu el b'deiz me'yad. This is only true if two people are doing it. That's going to, it's going to be mutal. Avob adam echad aser. If one person is going to do it, it's going to be aser. And the reason is a little counterintuitive. If one person does it, right, so it's very hard to take the two sides of something and get them to stick at the same time. It's like putting a sheet on a bed. You put on one side and then you go to the other side, it comes off that side. You end up chasing yourself for an hour and a half. So it's not so easy to do. So what did people do? What people would do is they would tie it down really well. And being that they would tie it down really well like this, it stayed in place. You were able to do the other side. That's a problem. If two people do it, they don't feel that they have to make it so tight. And as a result, counterintuitively, two people are going to do a schwacher job than the one person is going to do. For the one person, it's going to be an issue. For the two people, it's not. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Vekila, as it relates to Akila, Akila, but Yudnei Yadamas. Even 10 people is going to be Yasser, because E'efsha, Delei Mimtacha Purta. 10 people, or Akila, you always stretch it out really nice. You do it properly. You're making an oil, or at least an oil aroy. And for that reason, it's going to be an issue. Idach Mai, what was the second thing that Rav said? Rav used to comment on the following price. Tanya Kira, Shinish, Benachas, Meach, Yosef. Someone has a Kira, you have an oven, and one of its legs came off. Mutil Letaltal, the halach is you're allowed to carry the kira on Shabbos. Now, a kira is muktzah, of course. What do you do with a kira? You bake, you cook, so obviously it's muktzah. But it's a keli shemalachte le'isr, which you're allowed to be metaltal, le'tzorich gufa, le'tzorich mekame. So, just sometimes you're allowed to. The Brisa says that even if it's missing one of its legs, mutl le'taltal, shtayim. What if it's missing two of its legs? Aser. Then the halach is, you're not allowed to carry it. Because then it becomes muktzah machmas gufay. Now it has no usage anymore. You can't use a kira like that. And if you can't use a kira like that, since it's not just a kalish malachte le'iser, which you're allowed to be metaltal, le'tzorich gufay, le'tzorich mekaymai, but rather now it becomes something that's really muktzah. Rav Amar. So Rav commented on this, and he said, afilu chad nami aser. Now even if it's only missing one leg, it's aser, not because of muktzah. Gzeira shemo yiska, because it's a gzeira, we're afraid you may end up going to put it back together. Says the Gemara. Okay, Torah. What was the third thing? So again, Rami Bar Yechaskel sends Rav Huna. He says, "Emel anizi, my entire friend, tell me the geshmaka things that you used to always say over in the name of Rav. Two about Shabbos and one about Torah." So he told him the two about Shabbos. What was the one about Torah? The Amar Rav used to say, "I see the Torah shat eshtakech mi Yisrael." A Rav used to say that Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael one day. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "V'hifla Hashem es makoscha." This is a pasuk in the Teichacha that talks about the Hifla Hashem es makoscha, that there's going to be a day where there are going to be terrible punishments. But aflozu eni yadeh amal. But Rav said that from the pasuk itself, it's not clear what this punishment is. Kshu oimers yishtaltzu another pasuk Yishayichav tes. It says lochein hinini Yosef lahafli yisu amazeh hafla vafela hevi oimer hafla zu teira. The context over there is Yishai is giving very strong Teichacha to Klal Yisrael. Vayoimer, and he said Hashem. Vayomer Hashem, Yan. So this is Yishai quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki nigash ha'om hazeh bepiv. U'besfasav kibduni v'libay richak mimenu. The Yidin, they said all the right things, but v'libay richak mimenu. I know that deep down in their heart, they weren't really feeling it. Vati yirasa moisi mitzvah sanashim ilumadu. They were doing mitzvahs, Yidin, but it was mitzvahs sanashim ilumadu. It was by rote. It was without the rachmano libaboy. Says the pasuk l'chein, hinini Yosef lahaflias amazeh hafle vafela. There's going to be a punishment. The punishment's going to be hafle vafela. For avdo chachmas chachamav, ubinas nevoinav testata. What's this punishment? What's so hafle vafela? The Yidin are going to lose their Torah. So you see from here that hafla, what does the word hafla mean? It means forgetting Torah. So Rav said that when it says, v'hifla shamas makoyscha, you know what it means? Hafla vafela, Yishai chavtes. It's referring to this idea of Asida Torah Shetishtakach Miyisrael. So Rav said it, but the Gemara is going to bring now a Braisa, and this Gemara is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. It's an absolute classic. Tanu Rabbanon, Kishenich Nusu Rabbi Zeinu L'Kerem B'Yavna. When the Yidin entered the Kerem in Yavna, and just to give a little bit of context of when this took place, when Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai met the Roman Caesar, and he said, "I grant you three wishes." The first thing he told him was, Tain li Yavna v'chachamel. He says, "I want you to spear Yav." The Yidden at the time were living in Yav. That's where all of the Tanoim were. That's where the Tamid HaChachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, that's where they go to war. And he said, Tain li Yavna v'chachamel. So this is circa right around Churban Beis HaMikdash. So this is around the year 70 AD. This is around the time that the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, and the Chachamim, they enter the Kerem in Yavna. Kerem literally is a vineyard. This was a Beis Medrash, not a vineyard. But Rashi says the reason it was called a Kerem is they used to sit in rows similar to a vineyard. But either way, as the Braiso, when the Chacham invented the Kerem Yavra, Amr, they said, "Asi the Torah, Shetishtakach Miyisrael." A day is going to come where Torah is going to be forgotten. Shenemar, and this is for Rivi. Hine yomim bom nu'um Hashem alikim, v'ishlachti bom v'aretz. There's going to be a time where there's going to be a hunger in the land. Le'rov l'lechem, v'le'tzama l'mayim, ki'im l'shmaya es divrei Hashem. There's going to be a hunger, but this is going to be a very different type
of hunger. This is not the hunger that was in the times of Avraham Avinu when he had to go to Mitzrayim. This is not the hunger that happened in the times of Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov and Binyamin and Parshas Vayit. No, this is going to be a hunger for Torah. Kiyim l'shmoyas divrei Hashem. Even the pasuk says also Amos Perikhes v'nomi yom ad yom. The Yidden are going to wander from sea to shining sea. Umitzafim v'ad mizrach yishoyte to levakish as dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzu dvar Hashem. And they're not going to be able to find that dvar Hashem. There's going to be a time where Torah is going to be forgotten. What does it mean there's going to be a hunger? There's going to be a hunger. It means we'll be starving for a little bit of Torah. But that's a good thing that people are starving for Torah. But they're not going to have it. A seed of Torah that is taken from Yisrael, shenema hine yomim bam no mashem alekim v'shlachti rav ba'aretz loyrav lo lechem. Just take the guitar. But like some of them, kiyev l'shmaya is divrei Hashem. Says the Gemara, what's this dvar Hashem that they're not going to be able to find? Dvar Hashem zu halacha. Dvar Hashem zu haketz. When's Mashiach going to come? And Dvar Hashem zu nevuah, there's not going to be nevuah. Says the Gemara, Mai yishoytu levakish Dvar Hashem. What's this yishoytu going to be wandering to find the Dvar Hashem? Amru, I see the isha, a woman's going to take a kikar shel truma. She's going to take a loaf of bread, v'tachzer bebatei knesiyos ubebatei medrashos. And she's going to wander around the shoes, lay them tmeyevim tahira. So Rashi says, we're talking about a woman that had an oven. And in the oven there was a sheretz, and there was also a loaf of bread. That's truma, and she's gonna want to know: did the truma become tameh, or did the truma not become tameh? The sheretz is in the klicheres. The sheretz was matameh the klicheres. That's easy. But the question is: did the truma become tameh or not? And a time is gonna come where a woman's gonna have to take the kibush or truma. She's gonna go from beis medrash to beis medrash, and she's not gonna know. No one's gonna know the answer. Freit the Gemara. How could that be? Is that possible? They ain't maven him Torah v'im tmeyehi. The head yiksibe. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says mikol oichel asher yochel. It says that if you have an oven that has a sheretz inside, anything that's inside is tamei. Now the Gemara says, you know, she's going to know that the kikar is tamei. But what she's going to want to know is him rishoynehi v'im shneyehi. It's going to be a little bit of a lamdish shaila. She's not going to be sure: is it a rishoyn l'tumah or is it a sheyni l'tumah? Meaning, we know she's going to know that the oven is tamei for sure, and she's going to know the food is tamei. The question is, did the sheretz make the oven a rishon l'tumah, which made the food a sheni l'tumah? Or maybe the sheretz had the ability to directly be metame the food, in which case it's going to be a rishon l'tumah. But the Gemara says, anami masisini. That's a mishnah. I mean, it might not be a pasuk, but it's a mishnah. Time we learned in a mishnah, kelim perikes hasheretz shenimtza betanur. If there's a sheretz that's inside a tanur, the bread is a sheni l'tumah. Shatanur tchila, because the tanur becomes a rishon l'tumah and it makes the bread into a sheni l'tumah. So what do you mean? It's a mishnah. But you're telling me it's going to be a time? Hine yamim bam no mashem alekim v'shlachti rav la'aretz le'rav la'lech v'le'tzam alam ha'kim v'shmai divrei Hashem. People won't know a pasuk. You mean to tell me it's going to be a time people won't know a mishnah? Or be in a mesachtes kalim? But people won't know a mishnah. The Gemara says like this thing. You want to know where the confusion is going to be? Because not that no one will know anything, but mistapkulu, there's going to be a suffix. There's going to be a question no one's going to be able to answer. You know what the question is going to be? Hold on, this is just an example. Rav Adabrahava said to Rava, "L'chazi hay tanura, kamanda moli tumah v'tavi pas rishonah." Why does the Mishnah say that the bread is only a sheni l'tumah? It's not our sugya. But why does the bread say that? Why does the Mishnah say the bread is only a sheni l'tumah? Why don't we look at the entire oven as if it's tameh, so that the bread is in direct contact now with the tumah, so that it should be a ritual tumah? Meaning, the sheretz makes the oven tameh, which makes the bread tameh, in which case the sheni l'tumah. L'chur, it should all be tameh. Amaleh, he told him, Layam rinon, l'chazi hay tanur, command amaleh dami. So this was Rav Adabar Habit's question that he asked Rava. Now Rava had an answer, of course. There was no Rav l'lechem, v'yotzam l'mayim, kim l'shmai, zivrei Hashem, in Rava's times. Rava had an answer, and he proved it from a brayse. I didn't learn to the brayse. You would think that if a keli is inside the aver of an oven that has a sheretz inside, you would think the keli should be tameh. Tamud loymar kol hashem esoicha yitma mikol oichel asher yeyachel. Only food oichel matamim baver klicheres vein keli matamim baver klicheres. Only oichel becomes tameh from the aver of a klicheres. A keli can become tameh from aver klicheres. What do you see from here? Rava said, you see from here, there's no svara of lechezia lechzei hay tanura command the mali tuma. Because if you would look at the tanur as if it's filled with tuma, then the keli would be tame, because the keli now made direct contact with the tumah. What do you mean? The aver, forget about that. This tumah, the whole thing is filled with tumah. So you see from here that it's not as far. Either way, this is an example of an issue that people are going to have kashas, a basic kash on a mishnah, and you're not going to have a ravel, you're not going to have anyone that could be poishet. So the Gemara says that kishenichnusu Rabbi Seinu lekerem biYavna. So the chamim got together in Yavna. This is around the time of the Churban, and they looked each other in the eye, and they said, days are coming where there's going to be tzaros in Klal Yisrael. Where it's not going to be so good. There's going to be a time where people are going to have a kash on a Mishnah. No one's going to know the answer. And this was something Amos had already said. Amos lived the bias Rishon. Amos had said Nevuah that a day like this was going to come. But what their chiddush was is that they felt it. We're living it right now. This must be what Amos meant. That there's going to be a time that's going to come where Torah is going to be forgotten. But there was one yid who was young at the time, and he was in the audience, and he raised his hand, and he said, Rabbi, is it okay if I say something? Can I opine? He said, sure. And his name was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Gemara says in Brachas Chavches, then this Tkufa, he was a younger man. He was very, very young. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Shimon Baichai, Yoimer, Rav Shimon Baichai said, Chas v'sholom shetishtakach Torah Yisrael. He says, I disagree, respectfully. Chas v'sholom, that Torah is ever going to be forgotten. Shenemar, it's a pasuk. He says, Ki lo yisishachach mipizaroi. Torah will never be forgotten. There will never be a time where Torah is going to be forgotten. So what does it mean? There's going to be a time where people are going to be running around and they're going to try to find Torah. So he said, you know what it means? That's where those words come from. Mishnah Berura. There's going to be a time where you're not going to be able to find a Halacha Berura and a Mishnah Berura. I saw Rebbe Leo Shik. Rebbe Leo Shik and his Ein Leo says, he says, what's the Pshat? He says, the Pshat is, he says, today if someone asks you a Kasha, so you have to sit down and you have to say a Pilpo. You know, Torah is Ani Khan and it's Ashira over there. You have to say a whole Shluchu Torah to come up with a Pshat. It's very hard to look a Gemara in the eye and know exactly what's going on. See, he said, Rebbe Leo Shik, that's what he meant to say. He meant to say there's going to be a time where if you know me, yom vad yom, you're going to have to travel from one side of the Yom HaTalmud to the other side of the Yom HaTalmud. You're going to be learning a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and you're going to have to shtoutzu a Tosfos and Masechta Menachos. It's going to be very hard to see me. You're going to have to, good, we'll find it, we'll figure it out. At the end of the day, there will be tshuvas that will be written by Gedolei Yisrael with Pilpulim and with Sinai and Oikoharim. At the end of the day, we'll all figure it out. Bizarre to do with the Svarim HaKadoshim say, it's Rav Nachman is the one who said it, that Kiloi Sishachach mi Pizaroi Esoife Tevois Yoichoi. Kiloi Sishachach mi Pizaroi Esoife Tevois Yoichoi. And somehow this is with the Koyach of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the one that said it, and Alpi Soid Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his life, his teachings, the Zohar HaKadosh were all influential and instrumental in this idea of Kiloi Sishachach. The stipler wrote a sefer called Chaye Yoylo. It's about Amunah. It's about Amunah. And he wrote a short hakdama to his sefer Chaye Yoylo. It's a beautiful hakdama. And he begins with a chazal. It's a Yerushalmi in Perek Chelek. The Yerushalmi is going on a pasuk in sefer Yeshaya. V'chikisi l'Hashem ha-master panam mi-beis Yaakov v'kivisi loy. Says the Yerushalmi, quote, Ein lecha shah kasha ba'olam, me'oysa shah sha'amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, v'anoichi aster hasta panah b'yemahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, there's going to be a day where there's going to be a hasta panah, which if you think about it in the context of the time, it was a remarkable, remarkable statement. I mean, the Yidden had just witnessed incredible miracles. Rasa shifcha b'yom, mashalei roi yechesko b'mbuzi me'oylam. They had the man, they had the anani akavah, they had the bear, they had all the miracles, miracle after miracle. They were living such an incredible life. And to think that there would be a time where there'll be a Hester upon him, not just a Hester. Vanoichi Hester, Aster Panay, a double Hester. Esther and Atar Minayim. There's going to be an unbelievable Hestara. Says the Yerushalmi. In the history of Brius Oilam. Right? Trivia question. What was the worst second in the history of Brius Oilam? It's a Yerushalmi. That time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Vanoichi Hester, Aster Panay, Bayoy Mahu. Why? Why? Because it meant that Torah might be forgotten. But v'afal pikein me'oisa shah, at that same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew v'kivisiloi, that everything is going to work out okay. See, the reason is because immediately afterwards, what did Hashem tell Moshe? Ki loisi shachach mi pizare. There wasn't a worse time in history than when Hashem told Moshe, v'anoichi aster haster panim. How's Klai Yisrael going to survive in a tkuf of hester panim? You know what the answer was? You know what the nechama was? Ki loisi shachach mi pizare. Torah is never going to be forgotten. Says the stipler. Hainu, keep his man hester upon him. When there's a hester upon him in the world, shalai nikar hashka chasa yisparach shemai ba'ilamai. It's hard to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Hayo'olol, there was a concern, shachas v'shalom tishtakach Torah Yisrael, that maybe Torah would be forgotten. Ki loim deyat Torah mismatim. because the amount of Torah is schwacher. V'amudei ha-Torah misroifefim. Elo she'afal pikein anu betuchim b'kiyum shel Torah b'kerev Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come and he had to say ki lois yishachach mi pizare. But listen to what the disciple says. It's unbelievable. V'ulam, he says, however, ein ze ela haftocha klolis. This haftocha was a haftocha for Klal Yisrael as a nation. That you want to know if there'll ever be a time where there won't be a rava that will be able to answer Rav Adar Bar Rahava's kasha. That's never going to happen. Ki lois yishachach mi pizare. Could be we won't have someone that's going to have a brisa that will be able to pull out. It could be it's going to have to be the no miyam ad yam umitzafim vad mizrach yishaytetu. But at the same time, there's a haftacha klolis on the Ummah shalois ishtakach ha-toyra miklai yisrael. Ava kol yachid, but as it relates to each individual yachid, einoi muftach alatzmai. On that, there's no haftacha. And to the contrary, every single yachid is living, said the stipul, in a terrible sakana. Because we're living in a world of anoichi aster haster panah b'yemahu. We live in a world of einvash chasha kasha ba'oyla me'ois hasha shamalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'moysha v'anoichi aster haster panah b'yemahu. I mean, this was said in a time where everything was so, everybody believed in the Eibishter. Adas Koyrach challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ground opened up and swallowed them up. What are you, could you even suggest something like that? And yet there was a Nevuah about a time where the world would literally flip on its head, where it would seem that just the opposite. An incredible tkufa of Hester Panim. And apparently, in the world of Hester Panim, there's a tremendous akana, says the stipler, that Torah might be forgotten. But there's a haftacha, there's an achama, yoichoi. There's a haftacha of Reb Shimon, ki lois yishachach mi bizarah. But says the stipler, this haftacha is a haftacha for the Ummah. It's not a haftacha for every yachid. That means every yachid lives in this akana. And he says, it's for that reason I'm writing a say, that people have to work on Amunah, and they have to work on peeling off the Hester Panim. Because when you live in a Hester Panim, when you live in that world, you're very old to come to a point where Torah is going to be forgotten, and you can go back to that matzav of Ein Lecha Shah Kasha Ba'olam. Me'ois Hashah, Sha'amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, V'Anoichi Haster Aster Panim Ba'yei Mahu. Either way, we'll end on this note, and I just want to give a Yasher Koyach to Rebbe Eli Katz for making this year possible. Grüß dich, Geich.